We're now joined by the winner of tonight's NASCAR Xfinity Series race here at Daytona International Speedway. That's Jesse Love, driver of the number two Richard Childress Racing Chevrolet. If you have a question for Jesse, please raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. We'll start here with Matt Weaver and work our way around the room.
Matt Weaver, Sports Not. Got two for you. I think the decisive moment of the race was that last restart where I don't know if it was a late clear or if you kind of cleared yourself, but I'm curious, what was that whole process like? Because if you didn't get in front of them, clearly the Haas cars were probably going to run away with it. So what was that like?
Yeah, I don't know how I even – that's loud, sorry. I don't know how I got in that position anyway. Like, it was weird. I kind of was trying to block both lanes, and maybe they just got down quickly. But, yeah, I kind of knew that if I didn't get down that we were probably going to lose the race. So, I mean – whether or not I was clear, I knew that that was the only move I could make. So had to kind of get down there, and if I wasn't clear, hope that I kind of knock him down, then I, you know, kind of stall his momentum out and I can still be a leader. But regardless of the situation, we were just clear enough, and I kind of thought I was clear. But then by the time I got, you know, kind of to his bumper, he was, like, connected immediately. So it was probably, like, when I made the decision to move down, he was probably, you know, a quarter car length back, and but he was coming with momentum. So it kind of closed up and made it look, you know, really, really tight.
And then, obviously, you've won in the Xfinity Series before, so you've experienced, you know, that emotional thing. How is winning Daytona differently than winning Talladega?
Tallest guy in the room just walked in. No, I think that it was hard for me to win here for a while because I kind of thought the two were similar, and I just studied, you know, Daytona for, you know, for weeks, right, and try to figure out what it is that doesn't work for me here, and obviously kind of figured it out, and the, you know, the moment for me was I went and watched Talladega, and I was like, none of these moves are going to work at Daytona, and that's when I realized, like, it's Talladega's kind of more checkers, and Daytona's a little bit more chess, right, so... and that kind of goes with the, you know, exquisite nature of Daytona and then kind of the, you know, more, you know, tough, rooty, redneck nature of Talladega, right? You're kind of more balls to the wall there than you are here. But, yeah, once I figured out the differences between the two, at least I thought I did, I kind of got halfway through the race and was at the end of stage two in a predicament where I kind of sucked, for lack of a better term, the first two stages. My teammate was, you know, dominating the race. And kind of had a decision where I could go back to what I was doing or I could kind of stay the course and see if it panned out in the end like I thought it should. And thought I had nothing to lose, so kind of just stayed the course of what I thought was, you know, going to work out in the end, which was it comes down to just being really patient, you know, and staying with the line and making your line go forward and not pulling out and going three wide and things like that. And, yeah, once we got the lead, the key moment for me was, you know, actually getting shucked out from pitting with the Chevrolet teammates because we were able to make some good speed there at that pack. I think it was like five cars between the 00 and then the 25 behind me. And I guess they must have had some issues on pit road. The Chevrolets did, and we were able to restart third. And that was another moment there where I can take, you know, sixth or the lead, and I just never want to give up the front row. So ended up taking the lead there, the front row inside, and then obviously somehow, you know, our engines, we got them better in the off season, and our ratios or whatever it was, but I mean, we were, you know, destroying people, you know, off the line through the gears on the restarts, and was able to clear them every time. So it goes back to again how you load the brake and hitting your shift points and things like that, but I mean, we were really strong getting through the gears in the restarts.
Go to Zach and then to Bob.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Jesse, congratulations on this.
Thanks.
You didn't really have many friends up there on that last restart either. As Austin had his issue, you had two Fords on the inside and a Toyota behind you. How much more difficult did that make your task at hand at the end of this race? And did that add any more importance to clearing Sam on the restart?
Yeah, it was kind of worst case scenario there. Having a line of, you know, Toyotas and then a line of Fords. And honestly, I don't know if it hurt me because it kind of cleared up my mindset. My mindset was like, I have to, you know, make sure that they don't have a choice but to push me. And when I made that decision, it kind of almost, I'm so cold with all the water on me. It kind of made my life easier because then my mindset was just don't let them, you know, get out of line and get to my quarter panel. So then my thought process went to whatever I have to do to keep them in my wake where they can push me out with the air bubble. And honestly, it almost felt easier than if there were a bunch of, you know, Chevrolets behind me, because I feel like the Chevrolets break through the bubble a little bit better.
We'll go to Bob next.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. I want to say Daniel Dye wasn't thrilled with you after his wreck. So I'm curious. He said you're friends and everything, but I'm curious, like, did you feel bad at all after that wreck? And if so, how do you put something like that out of your mind for the rest of the race?
What, I hate to be this. Which one?
The first one with, like...
Oh, with a 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I haven't watched replay yet. My first gut instinct, it was a big stack up. I don't know how that happened. I don't know if the 20 got the guy in front of him squirrely and backed up, and then it's kind of like, okay, do you want me to get, for lack of a better term, ass packed by the guy behind me, or, you know, make sure that I can be squared up? Because the 48 did get to me and push me, but regardless, like, I don't want to be the guy that doesn't give you a comment, but I don't know. It very easily could have been my fault, and if it was, then I apologize to the 20, because obviously I don't want to be that guy that starts wrecks. So it could have very easily been my fault, and if it is, then I'll, you know, talk to Brandon and apologize to him, and Daniel will probably yell at me when we get home anyway. So
so it wasn't like there was anything in your mind from, like, during the race or
like that? Well, I think it's...
And there could have been other times where you're just curious, just kind of mentality of just in a race like this, having to put stuff out of your mind and things don't necessarily don't go your way, but things get hairy out there.
Yeah, I think that, well, got to understand one thing too, right? At that point, if I ask, it could 100% be my fault. But if I ask my guys, hey, was that my fault? They're never, ever going to tell me it was my fault in the moment. When we get back to the shop, they will. But in that moment, you know, it's never going to be my fault, right? So that cleared my conscience when they said it wasn't. But I know that it could have also been my fault if the 20 just kind of backed up and I hit him, then it is my fault, right? If there was something before that, or if the 48 did get to my bumper before I got to his, then it maybe isn't. But at the same time, you have to put that. I know when I, you know, wreck somebody on purpose, and that does bother me. But in that moment, because it wasn't, if it was my fault, wasn't intentional, again, I kind of stopped. I didn't think about it. I will say subconsciously, though, I maybe gave a little bit more room to the guys in front of me for the rest of the night, not thinking about it, but subconsciously I was doing that just because there's no point in, you know, tearing up cars, and I was behind a lot of Chevrolets most of the night, so I didn't want to, you know, give them a bad push if I got a bad push.
All right, we'll go to Steven and then Jacob.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Jesse, this morning after qualifying got rained out, you and Connor Zilich were having just a back and forth with each other online, and Connor was like, oh, Super Speedway merchant, and you had some pretty good barbs in there yourself. I mean, you've got the trophy now. Do you have anything else to say to Connor?
No. I mean, he's my best friend in this whole world. I know him better than anybody, and he knows me better than anybody for the most part, other than my dad, right? So, no, I think that me and Connor definitely get competitive. Even if no matter what we're doing, we're competitive, and we kind of try to hide it because we don't want to, like, ruin a friendship over it. But we do get competitive at times. And because we both have so much, you know, experience with each other, we both know how to, you know, I guess jab the right parts, right? We can kind of take jabs and make them hurt a little bit. So, you know, he hits me where it hurts, and I kind of, you know, give it back to him. But no, he is he's a class act, man. He came over to me after the race, and honestly, the highlight of my night was when we were leading both lanes. You know, that was pretty cool, pretty special. I've got a, you know, phenomenal small friend group that is basically me, Daniel Dye, and Connor and Brent Cruz, and you know, we're all really doing a lot of hard work for this season and working really hard, and we're all like-minded. So I keep my friend group, you know, pretty small and a tight circle, but it's, you know, because the friends I got are, you know, worth a million. So I feel like me and Connor definitely, though, we sometimes get a little bit out of hand.
And on a serious note, you know, you're still fairly young. You're still early in your career. There's a lot of drivers who show up to Daytona, show up to Talladega, show up to tracks where you have to race in the draft and never really get it or master it. What is it about Daytona and Talladega and Atlanta to a certain extent that how have you been able to get so good at drafting and super speedway racing so early in your career?
Yeah, obviously our cars are really fast and we have, you know, a lot of power in the hood and get good fuel mileage, but you know, I credit a lot of it to Austin Hill. You know, he's helped me a ton. This time last year, I really knew nothing, right? As we all saw, like the ARCA racing deal, the speedway stuff is, you know, a lot different, right? A lot more single file, harder to make runs. And, you know, we had it down to a science with Venturini where we would kind of get out front and just control the whole race. And I had to learn a lot, and I come into it, you know, not knowing much, but Austin was an open book for me, you know, for the first, you know, months of leading up to Daytona last year, and obviously that shortened my learning curve a lot. So I was a rookie, you know, last year at the Speedways, but, you know, I had a wealth of knowledge because of him, and I have, you know, 3 pages of notes that, you know, he wrote for me to look over before I come to these racetracks. So and he's the best at it. There's nobody better than him at this package, and he would have been really tough to beat tonight, and obviously it helps when our cars are as good as they are.
Right. Thanks, Jesse. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take 3 more questions. We're going to go to Jacob, Lee, and then finish with Dalton.
Jacob Seelman, Raceface Digital. Jesse, take me back to 9 or 10 years old. You're running a pavement midget out in California. Nobody knows your name at that point. Does Jesse Little tonight, or Jesse Love tonight, sitting here at Daytona, what do you tell 10-year-old you? Because this seems like a rise that you can't write this script.
Yeah, Jacob's known me for a while, so he knows how to get me emotional. But
I'm trying.
You know, I think it just comes down to trusting the people around me. Nice one, Jacob. I've always had a really small group of people that I trust. And, you know, at times my dad was, you know, put me in all these different cars, right? And it made the learning curve really, really hard, right? And there were times where, you know, I'm running a midget for Keith against all these, you know, phenomenal guys, and I'm getting my rear end whooped. And then I get in a, you know, tour car out west and struggle there a little bit. But it was all for a reason. And haven't met somebody smarter than him yet. So just trust your old man. And honestly, me and my dad's relationship changed when he told me to, you know, pick people in your life, and there's going to be probably 4 or 5 of them, but whatever they say, you do. And whatever he's told me to do ever since, I've stuck to it 100%.
You dreamed of this place. Does the reality of winning here exceed the dream?
I mean, this is the only place that I cry during the national anthem or kind of get emotional. I'm an emotional guy, as everybody knows, and I try not to hide it. But this place is special. You know, you racing here when I was at New Smyrna and just wanting to be a part of it, right, wanting to have the prestige of winning here and say the Lord's name on a big stage. And obviously when you get to race for Richard too, you know, that is an added layer of kind of emotion when you come to these places. And what makes it more special is it's a place that I've struggled at in the past and, you know, worked really hard to overcome my struggles here. And that makes it, you know, even more special because, you know, I stuck with the path and there were days where it was hard, but, you know, still powered through it and give it 100% of what I have.
All right, we'll go to Lee and then finish with Dalton.
Lee Spencer, just if you could kind of discuss what Danny Stockman has meant to you during your transition to the Xfinity series.
Yeah, he's one of my best friends. I love Danny. And, you know, we're probably sometimes too similar to always get along, and we kind of get each other's throats sometimes, but we trust each other and we always have each other's backs. And honestly, that's the most important thing. I always know he has my back. And after that second stage tonight where I, you know, don't get stage points again for the most part and we're in the back, like I was so far back, I literally just bailed on the pack to not wreck. keep my car clean. Like, he didn't give up on me, and he still had the same confidence in his voice. And I really hope that, you know, the day will come where we can go cup racing together and keep achieving our dreams and goals together. He's the best crew chief I've ever worked with, and somebody that I think very highly of, and somebody that I love.
Did you realize that was his first Daytona win?
I guess I'm surprised. I did not know that. No, I feel like I thought he'd won everywhere. I'm sure he has plenty of pulls here, but no. Again, we've had a few firsts together, first times that is, and obviously we both, you know, want to get a championship at the end of the year, and I'm sure he has plenty of those, but at the same time, you know, we've been pushing each other really hard this off season and getting along really well.
Hi, Jesse. Dalton Hopkins of frontstretch.com. Shortly before you took control of the race, it looked like your teammate Austin Hill was on track to win four straight spring Daytona races here. Since you've joined RCR, how much have you gotten to know him, and has he coached you at all when it comes to these types of races, and what have you learned from him?
Yeah, like I said in the beginning, you know, Austin's helped me out a ton, and you know, I came here last year as a rookie, and because of him, I had a wealth of knowledge, and I'm in this spot today because, you know, he was selfless enough in the moment to help me out when I needed it and didn't hide anything from me.
And for the last 4 years or so, RCR just seems to have been the top dog when it comes to Super Speedway races. What is it that makes you guys so good?
Jay Bourne is really good at his job, and we have big engines that make a lot of horsepower and good fuel mileage. And we've had a few people like Danny Stockman go through the company in the last few years that have a lot of secrets on these cars. And Dale's probably giving us a little wave as we go by, too. So it works out.
Jesse, congratulations, and thanks for coming in.